In the last shiur for Kedushin Daf Gimel Amid Beis, we discussed the makar from which we derive the halacha that the father receives the kesef Kedushin when he marries off his daughter. And that was a pasuk in the parasha of Amav Riyah, V'yotza chinam ein kosef. And the Gemara darshins the extra words ein kosef li'adon zeh, aval yesh kosef li'adon acher. And the Gemara suggests that there's a similarity between the case of the Amav Riyah, who when she reaches Narus, she leaves the reshus of the Adon, and in the case of a father who's makabel kedushin for his daughter, who likewise leaves the reshus of her father through this ishus. And the Torah is comparing and contrasting those two cases when the Amav Riyah leaves the reshus of the Adon with Nairus. The Torah says Ein Kesef. The Adon does not get his money back from the father who sold the Oma to the Adon. Aval Yesh Kesef L'Adon Acher, in a different case of Yitziah, where instead of the Adon giving up his rights and his Reshus over the Oma, it's the father who gives up the rights and the Reshus over his daughter, Benurea Beis Aviha, and now she is on her own as an independent Yad. In both cases of Yitziah, the Torah compares them and contrasts them. In the case of the Adon, he gets no money. In the case of the Av, he does get money. And now we're looking on the top of Daf Dalid Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Yitziah de Kavase Ka Memait, which means that the case of the father, in which by virtue of the Ishus, she, the daughter, leaves his Rishus, that's a Yitziah which is similar and parallel to the Yitziah Sa'ama Mirshus Ha'adhan. The Gemara is not satisfied with this. V'holo damya ha'yitziah la'ha'yitziah. There's a fundamental difference between the two. Hasam nafkala mirshus adon legamri. In the case of an Amav Riyah who sees simani narus, she leaves the rishus of the adon completely, totally. V'hacha, but here, in the case of a father who's makabel kedushin for his daughter, Akati michsera mesira lechupa. The kedushin itself is not a yitziah mirshus aviha. The yitziah mirshus aviha, and the emergence of a separate independent yad of the nara is clinched with chupa, with nisuin. Kedushin, as we've discussed in the past, is the first stage of ishus. With kedushin, the father still has reshus over his daughter. For example, if she dies, he inherits her. If she has funds that come in through her employment, he, the father, receives those funds and pockets them. The Yitziah Mirshus Av is incomplete until such time as Nisuin takes place. But with Yitzias Erusin, with Kedushin itself, she still remains in the reshus of her father. And fundamentally what the Gemara is searching for now is some expression of Yitziah Mirshus Avir which is clinched with issues of Kiddushin. And the Gemara finds such an example in the Hafaris Nedarim. Hafaris Nedarim Mia Nafkala Mirshusei, she leaves the Rishus of her father through Kiddushin alone with regard to Hafaris Nedarim, meaning the father is no longer the sole, he no longer has the monopoly over Hafaris Nedarim. For a Anarusa, Hafaris Nedarim requires not just the view or the acceptance of the father when he wants to nullify her vow, but rather it requires a partnership of the father together with the Baal, with the Arus. And that's what it says in the Mishnah in the Dorim, Disnan Nara Amurasa, Avia Ubaila Mefer Nidoreha. The father cannot be Mefer his daughter's Nidorim after Erisin, independent of the Baal. He needs the Baal to agree, and if they're both on board to be Mefer, then and only then is the neder nullified. So once we have this case of Nidorim, where the Kedushin takes the Isha out of the Rishus Av, although she's not totally out of the Rishus Av, but at least partially so, and he can only now be Mefer as a father with Shutvis, with a partnership with the Baal, therefore the Yetziah of Erisin from the Rishus of the father vis-a-vis HaFaris Nidorim becomes parallel to the Yetziah of the Omevriya from the Rishus HaAdon. Even though, again, the distinction is still there. The Yetziah in the case of the Omevriya Mishus HaAdon is total, is complete. The Yetziah with regard to a Nara from the Rishus of her father with Kedushin is only partial. But nevertheless, that similarity and that parallel mirror image is enough of a common Yetziah, common definition of Yetziah, to justify this drasha of Ein Kesef L'Adon Tzev, Yesh Kesef L'Adon Acher. Now the Gemara asks a fundamental question. V'hai v'yotza chinam. This pasuk of v'yotza machinam. L'hachi da'asa. Is it really in fact coming to teach us that the father could be makabel kesef kedushin when he marries off his daughter who's a nara? Hami boile, we need this pasuk v'yotza chinam for something else. Look at Isanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Isanya. The Braisa refers to this pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim of Yotza Chinam, Elu Yemei Bagrus, meaning when an Omevriya reaches the state of Bagrus, 12 and a half years old, then she leaves the Rishus of her Adon. In other words, it's not enough that she has Simoni Narus, she needs Bagrus. Ein Kesef, but then it says in the same Pasuk, not just V'yotzachina, but also says Ein Kesef, or Ein Kosef, I should say, is Elu Yemei Narus, that once she reaches the age of 12 and a day, and she has Simonim, which means Shtei Saris, at that point the Omevriya leaves the Rishus of the Adon. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, what was the meaning of the Yotzachinim in the Reisha, this pasuk of terminating the Rishus HaAdon with Bagrus, if already a half a year beforehand she's left the Rishus of the Adon with Narus? But we're not ready for that question yet. But in any event, this pasuk clearly is teaching us both the Reisha and the Seifa, the halacha of Yotza Chinam Ein Kosef, the Yetziah of the Omevriya Mishus Ha'anon. And therefore, you cannot use this pasuk, there's nothing superfluous in the pasuk, to teach you that the father, when he marries off his daughter, Zanara, receives the Kesef Kedushin. Amar Ravina says there is still something superfluous in this pasuk, something unnecessary that leads and lends to a drashim. Cain, if the pasuk is only talking about the Yetziah of the Omevriya Mishus Adon Lemakra, the pasuk could have been much shorter. The pasuk could have been more abbreviated. It could have said Ein Kosef, and instead it says Ein Kesef. Now notice the difference between the two is just one letter, the Yud, in the word Ein. But nevertheless, the Aleph Nun would have sufficed and the Yud is superfluous. And that itself is going to justify this drasha of Ein Kesef L'Adon Zeh, Aval Yesh Kesef L'Adon Acher Meininu Ha'av. The Gemara is now perplexed about the nature of this drasha. Umimai didarshin and hachi. Who tells you that when we see this pasuk Ein with the extra Yud, we can darshin the extra Yud as a separate, and derive from it a separate halacha? The Sanya, Now, a little background as far as the Braisa we're about to study. We're talking about a Bas Kohen who's married to a Yisrael. And the question is whether or not she can continue eating Truma. Until she got married to the Yisrael, she was a Bas Kohen who eats the Truma of her father, the Beis Avia. Is she still permitted to eat Truma even after she was married off to Yisrael? Now, when we say married off, we have to ask the following question. What stage of marriage are we talking about? If it's only Kiddushin, stage number one, then primarily she still belongs to her father's Rishus. In fact, we saw that until Masir Lechupa, the father still inherits her. He receives her Maisi Adayim. He's Mefir, Hanadarm, at least with the Shutfus of the father. There are many different expressions of the Rishus Ahav over the Bas when she was Me'ureses. And therefore, insofar as the father is a Kohen, she, even after Erusin, according to the Doraisa law, is permitted to continue eating Truma. It's only after Nisuin, at that point, when she's completely out of the Rishus of her father, and she is completely into the Rishus of her husband through Nisuin, then, and only then, does the Heter Achilas Truma terminate, and she can no longer eat Truma. Now, let's say, for example, if this Bas Kohen gets married to Yisrael, and then her husband dies or divorces her, she can go back to her Beis Avia and resume eating Truma. Because the Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, Bas Kohen Kisiel Almona Ugrusha. And now the Braisa begins by darshaning three words in this Pasuk that the continuation of the Pasuk says, Vizera Einla. And then it says, Vishava El Beis Avia Kinurel Milechma Via Tochel. Meaning that if she did not have a child from her husband Yisrael, and he died leaving no children behind, or he divorced her leaving no children behind, then she goes back to her father's rishus to eat Truma. However, if she had a zera from this Yisrael, then she would not return to her father's bias as far as Truma is concerned, and she remains irreversibly Asura Bachilas Truma. And the Braisa says, Ainli Ella Zara. What we know from the Pasuk is that if she has children from the Israel, she doesn't eat Truma. What happens if she had children from this Israel, but Nebuch Rachmana Litzlan, the children died? So she doesn't have Zera, but she did have Zera, Mesu Yiladeha. Now, what she really has now, Lechor, is nothing from the Yisrael, but Zera Zara Minayin. However, what would be if she is a grandmother to Yisrael, meaning the first generation perished, but she has now the next generation. Minayin, how do you know that even in such a case, the grandchild would block her ability to return to Beis Avia and resume eating Truma? Tamalomar Zera Einla. In other words, we're going to darshan the words Einla. And how do we do so? Einla. Einla means we have to check and see if she has any generations, any zera from her Yisrael husband, if she has grandchildren or great-grandchildren left from, still alive from her husband, her former husband who is Yisrael, then she no longer can eat Truma. She does not return to Beis Avia, and that's darshan from the Pasuk, Ein La, Ayin La. We check out her lineage, her descendants. V'ainli ela zera kosher. What I would be able to derive is that if she has sons, grandsons who are ksherim from her husband who's a Yisrael, then she's blocked from eating truma, resuming and returning to the father's bias. However, let's say she has zera apostle. Let's say, for example, she has a grandson who is a mamzer, and he's posel kol. He's what we call psule kol. Minayin, how do you know that even in such a case, she is blocked from returning to Beis Avieti Truma? Talmud Lomar, Zera Ein La, Ayin La. That we have to be bodek and make sure before we allow it to return to our father's Rishus for Truma that she has no Zera, no children whatsoever from her husband. Her Yisrael husband, because if she has any children, even if they were psulim, she's blocked, she's ma'ukav from truma, she can no longer eat truma. Now please note that in the case where she has zera posel, which means that she has a mamzer, nisu'er hayu be'iser, and l'chora, if she has a son who's a mamzer, she's posel l'kuna and l'truma because of the bias isur that engendered this mamzer. And Tosis therefore is bothered by the question, why do we need to block her because of Zera, because of this grandson who's a mamzer? Forget about that. The very fact that she had a bi'il asura, that would posel her for truma. And there are various answers to this question, which have to do with the laws of Yuchsin, the case of Nivola Lemitzri V'Adomi, Dar Shlishi Yavola B'Kol Hashem, that it could possibly be that she's not Nifseles as a result of their Bia. The Marshal here on Tosis Divya Maskel Zer Apostle has a very important comment. If you get a chance to look at it, he thinks there's no logical reason for this Havamina, to justify Havamina that a Zera Mamzer would not have the ability to block her from eating Truma, and therefore he wants to reinterpret the Brice in the Gemara. The Ribui is Im Yeshla Zereshu Patsua Daka Krushuvcha She'eno Yechol Aholid. Notice the Havamina was that if she has Zera from her Yisrael husband that could not produce their own Zera, have their own children, then such Zera, which is called a Krush Shivcha, would not block her from eating Truma. For that we need a Pasuk Zera Einla. There are many Rishonim, an entire list, who are bothered by a Gemara later on. The Gemara derives from a Pasuk in Pinchas, where the pasuk says, "V'ha'isa lo ulezera akra briskunas olam," then even zera posel avodas okshera. In other words, even though a kohen whose posel is not lechatchila allowed to engage in the avoda, but b'di'eved, if he did so, the avoda is kshera. And it seems clearly that the Gemara understood that the word ulezaro akrov in that pasuk, zaro, includes even zera apostle. Why then did the Gemara need a special drasha here of zera einla to derive any zera, to include any zera to block her from truma? In fact, the word zera itself would, by definition, include zera apostle. And the Tosis gives an answer to this question, the Rashba gives another answer. If we have time, we would dedicate some of the study to that. The Gemara now goes back to the Braisa and asks the following question. The Braisa derives from the pasuk Zera Einla to include Zera Apostle that also is Ma'akev, their mother or their grandmother, from eating Trumava Fikte Lizera Zara. The Gemara says that this halacha was already derived from the pasuk lizera zara, and the Gemara answers that the din of zera zara, which is ma'akev har from eating truma, is lo itzrich kra. In other words, on the one hand, the Gemara is bothered. How can you use Zera Eila twice? One to include a grandson, and the other to include even a pasul. After all, once we use this pasuk of Zera Eila to include even a grandson, we don't have the pasuk to be free to derive a pasul. The Gemara answers, Zara, meaning the case of a grandson, does not, lo itzer krah, does not need a pasuk. It's mentioned in this brisa, but it doesn't really need a derivation. Why? We have a universal principle that b'nei banim, haram kebanim. For example, in the mitzvah period of Arivya, if the first generation of children nebuch perish, nevertheless, if there are children in the next generation, the grandfather has fulfilled his mitzvah period of Arivya because b'nei banim, haray hem kebanim. So therefore, logically, we would derive the conclusion that a grandson from a Yisrael, from a husband Yisrael, would be like a ben from Yisrael, and she can no longer eat truma. So ki yitzrich krah, what we need a pasuk, therefore, is only for zera pasul, that's the ma'akev. And therefore, the extra yud in the word ein la is enough to engender this drasha, to validate the drasha, and derive the conclusion that even if it's a zera pasul situation, she still is blocked like a zera kasher from eating truma, and therefore in our case of ein kasef, likewise from the extra yud, we can derive the conclusion that the father receives and pockets the kesef kiddushin after he marries off his daughter. The Gemara now asks the following question. V'tana gufe. The Tana, this Bryce himself, minoli de darish hachi. How does he know that we have such a law, such a rule of darshaning, the extra yud? Amri, so the Gemara answers, amongst the Bnei Yeshiva, they threw out the answer, Shatana, that the Tana derived this conclusion because Ksiv, in the Parsha of Balak, it says that the officers of Moab came to Balak and they said to him, to their king Balak, after they returned, these were the, you remember that first there were regular shluchim that was sent to Bilam, and then Bilam rejected their offer, and then Balak decided to send Sarim, you know, more significant higher officers in his court. They came back from Bilam, and they declared, "Me'ein Bilam halochimanu," that Bilam refuses to join us in order to curse the Jewish people. "U'me'ein Yevami," and it says in the pasuk that when Yevama recites what's called the Kriya of Parshas Chalitza, and this is in Parshas Kitetze, it says, Me'ein Yevami. And if you take a look at the full pasuk, her declaration is, Me'ein Yevami Lahakim Liachiv Shem B'Yisrael, meaning she declares that the Yavam refuses to marry me and be make him shame be Israel. And the word me'ein in that pasuk is written mem aleph nun without the yud, lo ksiv behu yud v'hacha. But here in the pasuk of v'yotzachinam ein kasef, or in the pasuk of Zera Ein La, with regard to Achilles Truva, it says Ksiv Bei Yud, it says with a Yud. So in other words, the Parsha of Kriyas Chalitza of the Vama proves that the Torah could have been very happy and sufficed with a word Me'ein or Ein without the Yud. Shma Minol Drashu Deasa. Therefore, we can derive the conclusion that whenever there is in fact a Yud in the word Ein, it is superfluous and allows for a drasha. Now, in truth, there is a little bit of a rough edge here, a bit of a glitch, because in the case of Yevama, where it says Me'ein Yevami, there the word Me'ein is a verb. And that's a little bit different than Ein, which is more of a description. Ein, which is written with a Yud, the fact that Me Ein Yavami, in the word, which is the word Miun, it's a verb, has no Yud in it. It's not clear that that's the exact same word as Ein. These seem to be two separate words. And the Pnei Yehoshua has a long discussion here to try to justify and respond to the argument and the question of the Tosus Yontif. I just wanted you to note that. In any event, just summarizing the sugya, in the case of a father who marries off his daughter, the Kesef Kedushin reverts to the father. That's also the case with regard to Maisi Adeha. Even though she's already an Arusa, she hasn't left the Rishus of the father until after Nisuin. And even though these two laws are derived from two different psukim, nevertheless, we need both of these drashas, both of these yalfusas. The Gemara says, "Vitzrich lemichtav." We need the pasuk of Ein Kesef to teach us kiddush elavia. Vitzrich lemichtav, and we need the pasuk of Liyama to teach us the Maisa Yodea Leavia, and we don't derive one from the other. The Ikas of Rachman, if the Torah had only given us the Pasuk of Kiddush Leavia, the Kesef goes to the father, Avamina would have said that that's an exception rather than a rule. Mishum Delo Tarcha Behu. The reason why it's not a problem taking this money out of the hands of the Bas, who received it, the Torah's Kesef Kedushin, and giving it over to the father, is because Lo Tarcha Behu, because she didn't work at all to gain this money. The father raised her. Avol Maisi Adeha Deka Tarcha Behu, but if she goes out and works, she takes a job and she sweats and toils, Ema, I might think, Didahava. In such a case, that money does not accrue to the father. And let's flip it around. V'iyash me'inun, if the Torah had only written the pasuk of Maisi Adeha, that the father gains or continues to receive the Maisi Adayim, I would have said that's only because the mitzana mine, because she is supported by him. He puts the food on the table. And therefore he deserves, in return, to receive her Maisi Adayim. Aval kiddusheha demi alma kasile, but kiddushin is monies that she received from the world, so to speak, mi alma. It was not something that she earned, and therefore it should be swapped with a quid pro quo for the money that he sustains her and supports her. Ema dida hava, I might think that she has rights to keep and pocket the money of Kiddushin. It's not something that is a barter in exchange for the Maisi Adayim. There's no relationship here between money that she earns and money that the father spends in order to support her and money that comes mi'alma. Kesef Kiddushin is tricha, if we need two different psukim and two different yalfus to teach us these two dinim. One din is that the father receives and owns the Kesef Kedushin, and the second din is the father receives her employment payment check. Now let's go back to the Brice itself with regard to Yitzias Amavriya Gufa. The Torah says V'yotza Chinam in Parshas Mishpatim and Sefer Shmos. Elu Yimei Bagrus Ein Kesef Elu Yimei Naris. The Brice, if you recall, uses the Resha to establish the Hafkas Rishus Ha'odon through Bagrus, and the Sefer Hafkas Rishus Ha'odon through Nairus. So, Fek the Gemara, wants to know the answer to the following question. Lichtov Rachman and Nairus will avoid Bagrus. Had the Torah taught me that she goes out of the Rishus of the Adon with Nairus, ipso facto, she's out of the Rishus when she gets to Bagrus, why do we need a special pasuk to establish the Afkas Rishus Ha'av and Rishus Ha'adon in the case of Bagrus? Omar Rabba, Once you know the halacha of Narus, then ipso facto, you know Bagrus. But if there would have only been one pasuk, I always take the lesser chidush, the minimal chidush, and I would assume that the yad and the rishus of the adon of the ama is undermined, is terminated by Bagrus. I would not know, therefore, if I only had one pasuk, that his yad is Mufka, is terminated by Narus. Now that we have a second pasuk, we can take the greater chiddush and extend the halacha of Hafkas Yad Ha'adon with Narus. And the Gemara gives another example from Midi Dava Atoshav Visachir. We find something similar in a case of Toshav Visachir, which is an Eved Ivri, which we'll get to in just a minute. But it seems clear from this Gemara that Rabbah somehow felt compelled to bring a raya, in this case from Toshav Issachir, to teach us that if you have two psukim, that you need one pasuk for the simpler and more self-evident chiddush, and a second pasuk is necessary for the greater chiddush. I mean, why, isn't that logical unto itself? Why would we think otherwise? And why does Rabbi feel compelled to illustrate this with the case of Toshav and Sachir? So this question is analyzed by Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar. And basically, what I can tell you is the following. That he says that the Gemara was not asking, where does the, you know, let the Torah write one pasuk. That was obvious. The Torah had to write two psukim. But rather what bothered the Gemara is that let the Torah spell out Narus explicitly, and then we don't need another pasuk for Bagrus. And that's what Rabbi wants to show, that it's the Derech HaTorah to write two psukim, and one reveals the pshat in the second pasuk. So let's now spend a few minutes analyzing the case of Toshav Visachir. We're talking about an Eved Ivri, who is an Eved owned by a Kohen. And the question is, can they eat Truma? In other words, just like we saw in, well, we didn't see it today, but we know this from general information that a woman who's married to a Kohen, even though she's a Bas Yisrael, she can eat Truma. Can an Eved, who's an Eved Ivri, eat Truma because of the ownership of the Kenyan of the Adon? That's what we want to analyze. Now, in the case of Eved Knani, the Torah says explicitly in Vayikra Chaf Beis, the Kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kasvu hu yachal bo, he can eat truma. But that's the case of an Eved Knani, where the Adon has a complete kinyan begufo shel Eved. In the case of Eved Ivri, who's only kodi for 6 years, and he was sold into that slavery, that's not exactly a full-fledged kinyan aguf. It's more of a monetary or employment relationship. So therefore, the Braisa says, the Sanya, we learned to the Braisa. It says, in the case of Eved Ivri, Toshav Kohen V'sachel Lo Yochal Kodesh, Toshav Ze Eved Ivri. And what is this case of Eved Ivri? Kanui Kinyan Olam. This is called an Eved Nirtza, who refused to go out at the end of 6 years, and we give a ritzia to his ear, and he becomes a Kinyan Avdus Til Yovel. Sachir Zeh Kanui Kinyan Shanim. Sachir is your classical case of an Eved Ivri who sold for up to 6 years, and he was not a Nirtza. So now the Braisa asks itself the very simple question, Yomar Toshav, tell me that even the case of an Eved Nirtza, where the Kenyan extends all the way to Yovel, he cannot eat Truma, Velo Yomar, and therefore it's absolutely unnecessary. It's Muvan Meilav. We can understand that Sachir, who's not a Nirtza, and only has a partial and limited time Kenyan, is 6 years and up, max, is for sure, I would derive Vani Omer, I would derive the conclusion logically that he doesn't eat the truma of his Adon, of his Kohen, the Kohen who owns him, because Kana Kinyan Olam Eino Ochel is Kinyan, Kana Kinyan Shanim, Lo Kolshken. So why did the Torah have to spell out the case of a Toshav? Let the Torah just spell out the case of a Sachir, who's Kani Kinyan Shanim. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Let the Torah spell out the case of Toshav, who's Kani Kinyan Olam, and drop the Sachir, who's Kani Kinyan Shanim. And if the Kani Kinyan Olam cannot eat Shuvah, despite that everlasting Kinyan, then how much more so could I derive that a Sachir, who's only Kani Kinyan Shanim, can't eat Shuvah? So the Bryce answers, Ilu Cain, had the Torah only given us one pasuk, Hayisi Omer Shetoshav, the Toshav which the Torah says is Zeh Kodi Kinyan Shanim. Av Kodi Kinyan Olam Ochel. Basachir Velimen El Toshav. We need a second pasuk so that now we know that with these two psukim we're talking not only about Kinyan Olam, not only about Kinyan Shanim, but even a Kinyan Olam. Nevertheless, he doesn't eat Trum. He's not like the Eved Knani. Sha'afal Pisha Kani Kinyan Olam Eino Ochel. He doesn't eat Trum. And the same thing, or the same methodological structure, applies to the case of Yetzias Ham Evriya, that we need Narus and Bagrus, because if we only had one Pasuk, we would use it for Bagrus and not apply it to Narus. Now we have two Psukim, we could even be Mafkia, the Rishus Ha'adon, in the Oma with Narus. Oma Le'abai Midomi. The truth is, says Abai, it's not exactly parallel. Hasam over there in the case of the Eved Ivri, who goes out with six, or if he's a Nirza, he stays in the Rishus of the Adon until the Ovel, Trey Gufi Ninu. We're talking about two different people. And it's quite possible that one Adon owns both of these Avonim. One is an Eved Nirza, one is an Eved Lashesh. And we need a Ribui to tell us that both of these two individuals are excluded from Truma. And if you'd ask me, well, why didn't the Torah just specify the case of the Eved Nirtzen, I would have derived Eved Sheish Mikavachomer. The Chinah Mikosav Rachmon Atoshav Nirtza Lo Yochal Vehodar Kosav Idach. If the Torah just would have mentioned, spelled out Toshav Nirtza Lo Yochal, and then if it would have said afterwards the Sachir, namely the Sheish, that would have been difficult. Well, why do we need that pasuk? Is Havi Sachir Milsa the Asava Kavachomer? Sachir, the case of an Eved She'eno Nirtz, an Eved Sheish, would be something that could be derived from a Kavachomer. Umilsa the Asya the Kavachomer, Torah Vakosav Lakra. It's very common in the Torah, it's part of the Torah's methodology, to mention something explicitly, even though it could be derived logically from a Kal Vachomer. Elohacha, but here in the case of Om Evriya, where a Nara and a Bogeris, we're talking about Chad Gufi, it's one person. Ki Nafkala, Benarus, is Bagrus my boy Gabe. If the Torah already would establish from the get-go that she, with Nara, she goes out of the Rishus of the Adon, then there's no such thing as a Bogeres who's in the Rishus of the Adon. There's no Metzias at all of what we call Yetzias Bagrus. And therefore, the Gemara was asking, Lichtov Rachmana Bagrus lo boy Narus, if the Omer Vriya leaves the Rishus of the Adon when she becomes a Nara, then there's no Metzias of a Yetziv Yimei Bagrus. And therefore, why didn't the Torah just mention the Yetzia of Narus? If the Torah would have just mentioned in the case of Truma, the Eved Nirtza, that he's excluded from Truma, we could say, Milsa Diyasi B'Kavachomer, Tarach v'kasav l'akra, because they're two different cases and two different realities. But in the case of Bogeres, where there is no reality of a Bogeres, because she is no longer an Amma with Narus, then it's difficult. Why didn't the Torah just say explicitly that she goes out, Bimei Narus, and Fartik? That's all we need. El Amar Abai, Elo Nitzacha, the Pasuk of Yitziah, Bimei Bagrus, El Lebagir, the Islandis. It's a case of an Islandis. The Islandis actually skips over the middle stage, which we call Narus. So we have three stages. We have Ktana, Naira, and Bogeres. In the case of an Islandis who has no Simoni Nairus, then she only becomes a Bogeres with the age, when she reaches the age of 20 and she has no Simoni Nairus. Salka Daitachamina, I would have thought, Bin Nairus, Tepuk. If there's halacha of Hafkas Rishus through Nairus, that applies when there is Nairus. But if Bagrus, low taping, but if she has no Nairus, meaning she's a woman who's Mufka from the category of Nairus, so she doesn't have the possibility of Nairus being Mafkia, the Rishus Ha'adon be Meshachar Ha, is I would think that for this woman called an Islandess without Nairus, then although she becomes a Bogeris at the age of 20, she doesn't go out from the Rishus of the Adon. Kamashmal, the Bryce wants to tell us that there are two halachas here. The Yotzachinam Ein Kosef. We need one pasuk for Nairus, that terminates the Omavriya state and the Bailus of the Adon. And we have another pasuk for Bagrus, which also tells me that in the case of an islandess where she has no Nairus, she goes out as a Bogeris at the age of 20 from the Rishus of the Adon. The Gemara is not so happy with the Abai's understanding that we need a Pasuk to teach us that an islandess leaves the Rishus of Alma Vri of the Adon with her Bagrus. Maskifle Marbar Avashi Velav Kavachomer Hu Umasi Monin She'ein Motzi Rishus Ha'af. A state of Narus is not Mafkia, the Rishus of the Av. When does his daughter leave her father's Rishus? Only with Bagrus. As we said before, if the Nara is employed, her employment check, her salary check accrues to the father. So she still is in the Rishus of the father, even though she had Simone Narus. And nevertheless, Motziyam Rishus Ha'adon. We know that Narus, through Simonim, terminates and removes the Rishus of the Adon in the case of Amid Vriya. Is Bagrus, Shemotziya Mirshus Ha'av? How much greater is Bagrus that it has the power to terminate and be Mafkiya the Rishus Ha'av? The Pasuk says, V'nosnu Lavia Nara, if she was a Bogeres, then the father has no Rishus over her to collect any funds whatsoever. She's on her own with Bagrus. Is Eino Din Shemotziya Mirshus Ha'adon? You have Nairus, which does not have the power to be Motziya Mirshus Ha'av, and yet it has the power to be Motziya Mirshus Ha'adon. Bagrus, which is even greater because it has the power to be Motziya Mirshus Ha'av, certainly can be Motziya Mirshus Ha'adon. And the Achronim here have a long discussion as to how to defend Abaye against the attack of Marbar Avashi. But be that as it may, Marbar Avashi himself offers an alternative interpretation of how we derive a din from V'yotzachinam in Kosef. And let's take a look at the sugya here inside of Marbar Avashi. He says the following: Ella lo nitzcha ella leikar zvina di islandis. We need the pasuk for the sale of an islandis. In other words, we need the pasuk of Bagrus. That's what we said. V'yotzachinam is Bagrus to teach us that an islandess can be sold as an Oma of Ria while she's still a Ktana. Salka Daitramina di Asya Simoni Narus Havizvina. But lo Asya Simoni Narus lo Havizvina Zvina. We would think that you can only sell a healthy, normal Nara as an Oma of Ria, but in the case of an islandess who has no Simone Narus, the sale as an Om of Ria is impossible. And therefore wouldn't be Chal. And therefore, if we turn now to Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, the Pasuk has to teach us, V'yotzachinam, etc., that an islandess who goes out with Bagrus can also be sold as an Om Evriya. For that we need a special Pasuk. The Gemara is not so happy with Mar Barav Ashi. The Gemara says, Ulamar Barav Ashi, Di Omar, V'lav Kavachomer Hu. Remember that Mar Barav Ashi said that the halacha of Yitzias Oma in the case of an islandess is derived from a Kal V'Chomer from the Yitzia of an Oma in the case of a Narus. And that's why he rejected Abaye in his understanding of Yotzachinam, that islandess goes out with Bagrus. Now, it's difficult because Ha'amrin and Milsa the Asiv a Kal V'Chomer Torach V'Kosav L'Kra. Even though he is correct in his logic that we can object to Abaye's presentation based on the fact that certainly with a Kal V'Chomer, an islandess should go out of the Rishus of the Adam, but nevertheless we have a principle of Milsadisa V'Kal V'Chomer Torach V'Kosav L'Kra. So why did Mar Barav Ashi object to Abaye's presentation that the Torah didn't have to tell me a thing about islandess and the fact that with her bagrus at the age of 20 she goes out? Isn't that something which is Torah for Kosov Lakra? So the Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when do we apply this principle of Torah for Kosov Lakra? Hechi the Lekha Lishnuye, if we have no better answer. Well, Hechi the Ika Lishnuye, Mishaninon, meaning Torah for Kosov Lakra is only a fallback position, a default position. If there's another way of interpreting the drasha and the words of the Pasuk, then certainly we would prefer that way. And therefore, since Mar Barav Ashi has a substitute way in which he wants to know about the Etzem Mechira of an islandess during her katnus as an Om Evriya, therefore he prefers that drasha to the drasha of Abaye, because the drasha of Abaye would only be justified through the principle of Tarach V'Kosav L'Kra, whereas the drasha of Mar Barav Ashi doesn't need the principle of Tarach V'Kosav L'Kra. Now the Gemara goes back to the Kinyan Kesef in Isha. With regard to an Isha, we said that Ha'isha nicknames Bekesef. And the derivation of Kinyan Kesef B'Isha, we suggested, was the Gzereshava of Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, on Daf Gimel Amid Aleph, going on to Gimel Amid Beis, derived from the Pasuk of Yotzachinam Ein Kosef. So therefore, V'tana, Maisei La Mehacha, the Tana derives the Halach of Isha Niknes B'Kesef from a different source. Tisanya, we learned, this is a Pasuk, as we've seen before in Parshas Ki Teitze, Ki Yikach Ish Ishu Bol Avayim Lo Tim Tzachen Bienov Ki Motzaba, and then the Pasuk says, Ervas Dovar, because let's say for Kris V'Nosim Yel V'Shilcha Mi Beso. The Pasuk is talking about a woman after Kiddushin who leaves the Rishus of her husband with a get. And the Brisa says, Ein Kicha, again the Pasuk started with Ki Yikach Ish Isha, El Kesef. We know that Kicha refers to Kesef. The Chenu Omer, as the Pasuk says by Avram, Nasati Kesef Asoda Kach Vimeni. So we see quite clearly that the Kicha is a language of Kenyan. And therefore, here too, by Kiddusha, where it says Ki Yikach, it refers to Kesef, just like Avraham Avinu purchased the Steah Machpelah with Kesef, and the Pasuk says, Nasati Kesef Asoda Kach Mimeni, so Kesef and Kicha are one and the same. Here too, the word Kicha, in the case of Kiddushin, is referring to Kesef. And that would teach us that an Isha nicknames be Kesef. And if that be the case, we really don't need the Pasuk V'yotza Chinam Ein Kosef to establish Kiddushay Kesef. The Gemara now asks on this brisa, why do you need the Pasuk of Kiyikach to derive Kiddushay Kesef Valo Dinhu? Can we not derive Kiddushay Kesef from a Kal V'chomer? Uma Oma Evriya She'eno Nikneis Bebiya Nikneis BeKesef Is Zu She'Nikneis Bebiya Eno Din She'Tikne She'Tikone BeKesef. Meaning, in the case of Oma Evriya, there's only one method by which the Adon acquires ownership over the Oma Evriya, and that is through Biya. And let's read again. Uma Omer Vriya Sheina Nikneis Bibia Ela Bekesef. I'm sorry. In the case of Omer Vriya, the kinyan to the Adon is not through Bia, but rather through Kesef. And in the case of an Isha, where we know that there's a Kedushe Bia, is certainly an Adin Shetikana Bekesef. In other words, if Bia does not work by Omer Vriya, but Kesef does, then in the case of Kiddushe Isha where Bia works, then certainly Kesef should work. So the Gemara rejects this Kal V'chomer. Why? Because Yevama Tochiach Sheniknes B'Bia V'Eina Niknes B'Kesef. You see that Bia has a certain power that operates, it's effective where Kesef is ineffective. And therefore, in the case of an Isha, even though we know that this Kedushay Bia, to establish the Kinyan, we don't know anything about Kesef. The Gemara says, Mali Yavomashkein Ein Niknes B'Shtar, Tomer B'Zu Sheniknes B'Shtar. Talmud Lomar Ki Yikach Ish. We need the Pasuk of Kicha to teach us Kinyan Kesef. Why? Because in the case of Yevama, she does not have the possibility of Shtar. And therefore, that which Kesef is inoperative by a Yevama, that's not because Kinyan Kesef is deficient, but because Yevama needs Bia. That's the only way that she can become a Nesua. She's Zekuka Vomedes Liyavam, as far as the Kedushin to the first, to the late brother is concerned, and now she doesn't have anything, nothing is lacking here. The only way that we can clinch that Kinyan is through Bia. That has nothing to do with the case of an Isha who doesn't have any Zika whatsoever. She needs a full-fledged Kinyan, and therefore she can be nicknamed Bishtar. So that the fact that Yevama doesn't have a Kinyan Shtar is not really a proof. And therefore we go back to our assumption that in the case of Omer Vriya, where Bia is inoperative, but Kesef is we might assume that therefore the Kesef of Kedushin should certainly operate if Bia operates. And the Gemara says, no, that the fact that Bia operates in the case of Kedusha Isha, that doesn't necessarily mean, therefore, that Kesef will be operative. And in the case of Omer Vriya, there's no Bia, but there is Kesef. But that doesn't prove anything because we have the case of Yevama, where Bia operates and Kesef doesn't. And therefore, the Gemara says, we're justified to derive from Ki Yikach to teach us that there is such a thing as a Kinyan Kesef. The Gemara now asks, Halama Likra Ha'asila? Why do we need the Pasuk for Kinyan Kesef B'Isha? Why not derive it from the Kal V'Chomer? And the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Ashi And therefore, Talmud Lomar, we need the pasuk of Ki Yikach Isha. So Rav Bosai will take a break now, and we'll finish a Mitzvah Shem Daf Dalet Amud Beis in the next year. And we'll pick up with the last particular point, and we'll finish it up in Mirtz Hashem in the next year. We'll review the last point and then complete the sugya.